Christ in me, yes, Lord.
Save us, O God, and help us, O God, to worship in spirit and in truth. We embrace you, Lord, your love, your word, your truth. Let your abiding presence cause us to walk as true men and women of God, sons of the Most High. Be exalted, O God, in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I trust that we have hearing ears and that we are doers of the word. Thank you so very much. We've been exploring the thought about God being our potter and we the clay. And in the process of addressing that particular subject, God is a potter, I'm the clay, we settled on the fact that the potter has the right to do whatever it is he needs to do with the clay. And the clay has no say. A God is God and we are who we are. We settled on the fact that God knows what is the best thing to do with us. He knows how he wants us made and what he wants us to accomplish. A potter has a purpose for what he wants to make. If he wants to make a plate, he makes a plate. Wants to make a pot, makes a pot. If he wants to make a vase, he makes a vase. Whatever it is he wants to make is what he's going to make. But everything he makes has a particular purpose. Some things have utility value, and some things are just meant to be decorations. But they are there to serve a particular purpose. Now, everything that the potter makes, he makes at different levels of intensity, thickness, shapes. But once again, it has a purpose. Now, the God who created us has a particular purpose for each one of us. And our mandate is to fulfill that purpose. You're not going to give an account for something that you are not called to do. You're going to be first and foremost given the opportunity to give an account for what you were called to do. Now, if you did something other, it will be an account given with a rebuke. Who sent you to do that? If you're working in an office and you start doing stuff that you are not called to do, even though it went well, the question will be asked, who asked you to do that? And many times what happens is that we get involved with things that we're not called to be involved with. And so it's important that we understand what God's calling for our lives might be. What is God's calling for me? God's calling for me is to be a preacher of the gospel. He didn't call me to be a musician. Well, I can do that. I can play the guitar. I can play the bass. Drums, so-so. But that's not my primary calling. He didn't call me to be a journalist. If that's what my calling was, or a particular version of my calling is, then that's what I should be doing. Whatever it is God calls you to do, you are responsible to do. And you're called to hone in on that particular calling and be the best that you can be, not in competition with somebody else, but the best that you can be at that which God called you to do. Because every one of us has an assignment. Praise the Lord. So the potter is building or spinning the wheel to formulate something. Now, that something becomes part of your labor. That's one of the things we've been addressing. What you are working at is part of your purpose. And every one of us have been mandated to serve. And in our service, the declaration of God is that that service is to the Lord. So whatever it is I'm doing as unto the Lord. How does that relate to what I'm doing right now? I must imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting in the front row every time I'm preaching. And he's listening to me and seeing if I'm doing one thing, if I am representing him properly. What is he saying? Is he saying what I would say if I was standing right there right now? Would I be saying exactly what he's saying right now? And what he's saying, what is the purpose of it? My number one audience, before anybody else here, is the Lord. Because whatever it is I'm saying as the Lord will say it. If that is what the centrality or core of my discourse is, it forces me to be the best that I should be whenever I stand before you. Because what I'm doing as unto the Lord. So he's number one, but so are you. You say, how can he be number one and I be number one? Because whatever it is that I'm saying, I'm representing him as he would say it to you. So I dare not say anything outside of what he said. Because if I say the wrong thing, he stops me. And you've heard me say it many times. I keep on talking and all of a sudden in the middle of a sentence or something, I say, well, that's it. The Lord says, that's it. Because I have to be listening to what he's saying by his Holy Spirit. This is my labor of love. I wasn't called to paint. I wasn't called to do anything else. I was called to preach the gospel. He didn't call me to sell encyclopedias. That's passé, but you understand what I mean. That's not what he called me to do. If that's what he called me to do, then I will do that. But he didn't call me to do that. What he called me to do is what I'm doing right now. And the question is, what has he called you to do? What's his assignment? What is it that he's called you to labor at? Because your labor must be a labor in love to minister to the needs of God's people, wherever they are. I must understand that I'm not only speaking to you here, I'm speaking to a world out there. So it doesn't matter whether my audience is one person or two people or 10 people. I understand that whatever it is that I'm saying, as I represent the Lord, is going to thousands or millions of people. That whatever it is I'm saying now must be relevant 50 years from now. Have you ever read the Bible? How long ago was the Bible written? And is it still relevant today? Well, the words that I speak must be relevant 10, 20, 40, 50, 100, 200, 1,000 years from now. That word must be true then as it is true now. So the words that I speak must not be boxed by limitation, but must be seed that will continue to multiply and increase. If I went upstairs right now and I picked up a cassette tape and we played the cassette tape, whatever it is that's in that cassette tape should sound correct for right this very moment. Amen. Nothing changed. Why? Because it was true then. Because it is the truth. Not my truth, but an eternal truth that continues to speak the heart of God concerning any issue or any matter. So also is the labor of grace that God has called us to. It must continue to speak. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning to read from verse 12. The word of God says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. You're called to eternal life. And hast professed a good confession before many witnesses. The word of God says, he that winneth souls is wise. We must be soul winners, committed to the purposes of God. Question I ask myself, and a question you need to ask yourself today is this: am I a soul winner? If I'm not a soul winner, am I wise? It's a question to answer. That's part of my labor of love. You say, why do you say that? Well, God says, love God with all of your heart. Love God with all of your soul. Love God with all of your mind. He says, then love your neighbor as you love yourself. If I know what I know today about salvation, that the only way for me to have this eternal life is by receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and that for that to happen, I need to have heard the Word of God. If I do believe that there is a true hell that souls will end up in if they don't have Jesus, then if I am a lover of me, knowing that truth, I must do everything I can to make certain that somebody else knows that truth so that they lose out hell and gain the presence of God, living a life of heaven now and always. That's what love tells me. That if I don't love, I will not share the gospel. But if I love, I'll do everything that I can to make sure that the gospel is preached by me in person and through the team that God has given to make it happen by supporting truth. But it also means that I do not support anything that is not telling the truth. That if I am giving my money to support lies, I am a practitioner of evil. You must never send your money to a minister that's not preaching the gospel. You're giving him life and sustenance so that he can continue to preach that which is wrong. A false prophet is meant to be stoned, not seeded to grow. But what have we done in our modern day? The better silver-tongued the person is, it doesn't matter whether he's living a double life, a triple life, living an adulterous life, divorcing and fornicating all over the place, getting himself drunk and smoking weed and whatever else, practicing all kinds of stuff. But because he says nice stuff, you support it. Do you know that Eli had two sons? One was Hophni, the other was Phinehas. Hophni was the boxer. Phinehas was the serpent mouth. Guess what serpent mouth's son was named when Phinehas died? His wife gave birth to a child, and he called the name of that child Ichabod, the glory is departed. Because the serpent tongue will only bring a degradation of the presence and the glory of God. We must ask ourselves this question: what am I supporting? What am I giving life to? Am I supporting that which will cause the glory of God to be made manifest? Am I supporting a Samuel? Or am I supporting Phinehas and his son, Ichabod? It's a question to answer. Word of God says, he says, I fought a good fight. Because it's a battle. It's a battle, it's a fight. To make certain that you're doing the right thing, supporting the things of God and making manifest that which God wants accomplished. You know, the Word of God says, in a great house, there are many vessels. There are vessels of gold and vessels of silver. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 20, we read these words. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And watch this. If a man therefore purge, cleanse himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. Follow righteousness. How do you follow righteousness? By walking. Follow righteousness, follow faith, follow charity or love, follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What is the point? When we have pure hearts, we will walk righteously. We will walk in faith. We will walk in love. We will walk in peace and pursue the heartbeat of God. And this brings me to where we picked up from this morning. In John 13 and verse 9 and 10, Simon says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. This is when Jesus was washing their feet. Jesus says to him, he that is washed needed not to wash his, not save to wash his feet, but is clean every way, and ye are clean, but not all. Jesus focused on the feet, because the feet is what you walk with. Amen? You walk with your feet. So he already told us we should walk in righteousness, walk in faith, walk in peace, walk in love. So let us explore that thought briefly this evening. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, this is what the Word of God says. Colossians 1 and 10. He says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. We should walk worthy of the Lord, unto pleasing, unto all pleasing, meaning faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Walk unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Being fruitful in every good work. That's your service. And increasing in the knowledge of God. As we walk with God, the Word of God says we are going to increase in the knowledge of God. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know. Are you walking with me? That's the question. Because the more you walk with Him in the light, the more you see aspects of God that you did not see before. That's incredible truth. Walking with God and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, you know, once upon a time, it took a millennium for knowledge to double. 1,000+. to know everything that you knew for the last 1,000. When we came to the 19th century, it had dropped dramatically to about 50 or so years. By the time we came to the 20th century or 21st century, we dropped to a year, and within months, it was 6 months. Till now, as I'm standing talking to you right now, all the knowledge that we've had, all the knowledge that we've had is doubling in less than 10 hours. In less than 10 hours. All knowledge is doubling. Why? Because the Word of God says, in the last days, knowledge shall what? Increase. Now, how are you going to match up with the knowledge of the world that is increasing if you are not increasing in the knowledge of God? How are we going to do that? In less than 5 years, in less than 5 years from now, a man will be chipped, and a man that's been crippled will walk, because there's a chip in him that energizes him to walk. So what do you need miracles for? You just need a chip. Yeah? You want to see? You just need a chip. So, whatever it is that we call miracles will be duplicated at will. This very moment, as I'm talking to you, your skin can be duplicated and grafted on, and you don't need to reject it because it's going to come from the very cells in your body. We can grow you brand new kidneys. Why do I need God? Many years ago, God spoke to me and said, man is going to create a man. And it shook me to the core. I said, God, why would you let such a thing happen? To reveal the hearts of men. Because it is not the miracles. Listen to me, child of God. It is not the miracles that you should pursue. It's your relationship with God, that you are one with God, the God of the universe. Not God blessed me. No, I have a relationship with God. All this other stuff can be duplicated. You must pursue after God with all of your heart. And get to know him. Because ultimately, everything that man produces is going to collapse. And then what are you left with? Because man cannot hold this universe. There is a God that this whole earth is like a drop of water in a bucket. So all these shenanigans of what, oh yes, oh yes, so that happened, oh yes, no, this is amazing, now we are God. No, no, no! You're not God because you practice science. The science that you practice is an imitation of. You see, God did not need a chip to make me move, to give me sight. I was born without a chip. Hello? But man is going to do his utmost, and he's going to call it a labor of love, but it's something that will bring about damnation. I'm not poo-pooing the fact that they are trying to do whatever it is that they're trying to do and are going to accomplish whatever it is that they're going to accomplish. The idea is this, that anything that tells you that you are now God outside of God is diabolical, it's of the devil, and will have eternal consequences. But you're not going to make that decision last minute. You have to make that decision now and grow in your increase in the knowledge of God. Grow in the increase that God has called you to. He says that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being present tense continuous, fruitful in every good work. Why? Because God chose you to be fruitful. John 15 and verse 16 tells us that. It says very clearly in John 15, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. There is going to be a showdown, saints. It's a showdown just like Moses had with the magicians of Pharaoh. Miracles with a chip and miracles by the speaking of the word. We come into it. And if we come into that, we've got to be increased in our knowledge of God. Because if we don't know how he does what he does, we will not be able to compete. We will be run over. But God has to have a representation in the earth. My question to myself and my question to you today is this: are you going to be that representative who lays hand on the sick and they recover, who speaks the word only and healings and miracles take place? And you say, we know these guys, they're not that educated. What university did you go to? And how are you doing that? No, this is the doing of the Lord. You mean you didn't go to any university? How is it that you know what you are able to diagnose what the problem is with this person without any equipment? Well, because God gave me the word of knowledge. Glory be to God. God, my God, told me. What do you mean? Where is he? Where is he? He's everywhere. We shall demonstrate the power of God without the equipments of man. But for that to happen, we've got to increase in the knowledge of God. How? By walking with God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not. He just walking. Oops, gone. That's how. Hey, listen. That's how we're going to leave. We're not going to leave this planet without walking with God and was not. Just walking, talking with God, our Father, walking with him, getting to know him, walking in love, walking in peace, walking in faith, and If we're not walking with Him, we will not experience that dimensional change. Colossians 1 again and verse 11. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. This is because we are walking with God. Lest you missed it, let's take it from verse 10 and just come right through. The key is walking with God. That's why Jesus says, all I need to do is just wash your feet. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Because you're representing Him well. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. No matter what is happening, I am walking with God. It's a decision. Romans 13 and verse 13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day. Walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife, and not in envying. We've got to walk differently. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, to walk with God. He says to us, for we are His what? Workmanship. He is the potter and we the clay, and we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Remember what we talked about this morning, that it is about service. That if you are not a servant, if you are not in servicing, the servicing industry of God, you're not truly a Christian. That is the economy. That you have to find a place where you are serving. God created you to serve somewhere, some way, in your own particular way. He says, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're created to do good works, which God had before ordained. God had already ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? In the good works. In the thing that He's purposed you for. My prayer tonight is that every one of us will come to an awareness of who we are, what God created us to do, what God created us to accomplish, and that we represent God in the little way that God has set aside for us individually. A little piece of a puzzle that's supposed to be part of the framework missing causes that puzzle not to be complete. It doesn't matter how big you are or how small you are. If you're part of the framework of what God wants, then you not being in your place causes something to be missing from the picture. I want to be in my rightful place. Don't you? We are called and ordained before to accomplish a particular purpose. In John, the fourth chapter, John 4, verse 32, Jesus is ministering to the Samaritan woman. In fact, the chapter starts out that Jesus very purposely had to go through Samaria. He didn't need to. He had to. There are many other ways to go. But it says in verse 4 of John, the 4th chapter, he says Jesus had to go through. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? So that he can have a discussion with a woman who'd been married to, I believe, 5 different husbands, to minister to her, to restore her, and to give to her what she had been looking for. And his disciples were away, and when they came back with the food that they brought to him, he says to them, in the passage of Scripture, verse 32, he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. What was it? Therefore said the disciples one to another, had any man brought him aught to eat? And 34, Jesus says to them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My daily bread is to fulfill my assignment and to finish his work. You see, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. The first thing we think about is, oh, give me my daily hamburger, my daily steak. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. It includes that. But it is, first and foremost, my daily assignment. God, what is my assignment for today? What are you calling me to do today? Obviously, while he was coming from Jericho, he made this detour to go meet this particular woman because that's what Father revealed to him he needed to do. There's a woman, and I need you to talk to her. And when you talk to that woman, you're going to take a whole city. A whole city is going to turn around from one woman. What woman? Oh, this one that's married 5 guys. The least qualified. And you say to me, I don't have anything to offer. God says, no. You got that wrong. Even while you were a sinner, as good a sinner as you were, I had something to work with. I'm going to use you. You were on the inside. I'm going to use you in ways that the enemy doesn't know and doesn't suspect. Can you imagine that Pharaoh raises up the Messiah of Israel in that first move? That Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, and he's the one that God is going to use to set the captives free? Oh, my child is involved with this gang. It's involved in that drug situation. It's involved in that alcoholism thing. My daughter is this, and then blah, blah, blah. Put that child in the hands of God. God, you know, you told me that you're going to save me and my entire household. You said in the last days, young men and young women are going to prophesy. And so are the men and maid, female servants. Well, that means my entire house, anyone in my house is going to prophesy. So God, I'm believing you to turn this situation around. I cannot save them. I cannot turn them around, but I know that you can. God used a woman because Jesus obeyed the instruction and ministered to her. Who is it that God has put in your way or in my way that I'm called or you're called to minister to? Would you know it? They might just be the next Billy Graham. They might just be the next Maurice Cerullo. They might just be the next Smith Wigglesworth. You never know who God is going to use and how God is going to use them. And God says, I just want you to walk with me. And I'm going to do something in the lives of the people. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. As I begin to wrap up. 1 John 2 and 6. This is what the word of God says. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. If you say you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, walk even as he walked. He was not for himself. He came to serve you and I. And God is calling us to serve each other in love and in the power of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 10:38, it tells us that Jesus Christ, our Lord, was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about, he walked about doing good. I wonder how many times you've heard those words, doing good or good works. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He walked with God. And we need to walk the same way. Doing what? Doing good. Healing all that are oppressed of the devil. That's part of our walk. May the hand of God rest upon us as he brings us into a year of partnership. He's calling us to partner with him, to be his hands and his feet in the world. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 7 says something very powerful. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we have fellowship, that we are in one place with him, chatting with him, he says, we lie. If we're walking in darkness. Now that's interesting. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. And walk in darkness. And walk in darkness. What does that mean? That means that we are not light. If you're walking in darkness, you're not light. We are living in a dark world. But we're called to be light in a dark world. The problem is not the darkness. The problem is that you are walking in the dark. Without light. God calls us to be light in a dark world. He says if we say that we have fellowship with him, that we are in partnership with him, that we are related with him and to him, and are still walking in the dark, stumbling in the dark, he says we're lying. Why? Because we do not the truth. It didn't say we're not telling the truth. It says we do not the truth. It didn't say because we do not know the truth. It says because we do not the truth. The doing not the truth is the problem. When you do not the truth, you are not being light. You may be light hidden in a bushel. God doesn't want you to be a secret disciple. He wants you to be obvious because he sets us on a rock. God says, do the truth. Don't just talk about the truth. Do the truth. Live out the truth. Shine brightly. But if we walk in the light, why? Because we are light. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, watch this now. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, Kacha. If you don't walk in the light, your sins are not getting cleansed. But how am I going to be the light? By shining, serving others with the glorious light and power of the living God. That's how. But unfortunately, so many believers don't know the importance of their service, that when God gives you an opportunity to serve, that you should be celebrating. God, I thank you that I have this opportunity to serve. Thank you that you counted me worthy to serve, that I can participate, I can be part of the family, I can shine in this little corner and do my part. It's not for you to gripe and complain. It's for you to celebrate that God saw fit that he can use you. Hallelujah. And let me wrap up with Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. We're talking about the walk. Word of God says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Walk in the Word, on the foundation of the Word of God. And when you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust, the desires of the flesh. Why do we continue in sin? Because we are not walking in the Word, and we're not walking in love, and not walking in faith, not walking in peace, not walking in a way that causes us to shine brightly. Many years ago, I went to a school, a teacher training college. It was called Nana College in Warri, Nigeria. I had not applied to go to that school. My dad did that. Unbeknownst to me, that's where I was going to meet the queen of my palace, Mama. And the first day I stepped into that school was the first time I was away from the Christian community that I now knew. Before that, I was off the world doing the things of the world. I left high school, came home, got saved, and now I'm going to this teacher training college, and this is my first time. So what did I do? When I got there, I dropped my bags where they pointed me to. This is going to be your bunk. Put my bag down, turned around, and I said to the guys that brought me there, I am a Christian. My name is Michael. Are there any other Christians here? So why did you do that? Well, I did that because I wanted them to watch me like a hawk. Why would you want that? Because I wanted not to have any cover to live in sin. Because let me tell you something. Every sinner out there knows what a Christian should be like. Just do something wrong, and is this what the Christian is supposed to be? They would ask you. They are not Christians, but they know what it is. So I told them. They said, yeah, there's some group here. We don't know what kind of people they are, but they say they are Christians. I said, show me that group. So I joined that group, and within 2 or 3 weeks, I was leading the group that I just came to. Because I was walking with the Lord. Now, I hate saying this, but it happened. The Bible says Jesus, having loved them to the end. And I almost blew my testimony at the end of my 2 years in that school. So how? We're doing exams, final exams, national exams. And they had smuggled the paper, the exam papers, out of the hall, brought it to the dorms. And here people were gathered and they were trying to solve all the problems. And then when they answered the question, they would slide it back to the school, to the exam hall, and people will copy. And, you know, that was the plan. I happened to be in the dorm that day, and I saw it happening, and I stayed longer than 5 minutes watching them do this. I knew what they were doing, but was hanging there. I did not add any answers to what they were doing. I did none of that, but I was there. They slid the questions or answers back, and the person taking it back got caught. Ah. Now, they called everybody in that dorm to the principal's office. And one after the other, these young men that were finishing their exams, they were now going to be graduating, all of them got denied. And I came in, and the principal looked at me and says, I know you were not part of it. Just go. Amen. That's how my hide got saved. I didn't go there and say, I was part of it. No, I just walked out. Might have been born at night, but not last night. I walked out. But as I walked out, I said, oh my. How did I spend even a second in that place? What made a difference? The principal had been watching my walk. Amen. He's seen a consistency in my walk. He says, even if there was even a little blip, erased. Go. You're not part of this. These other ones, I know them by their walk. You, it's different. Now, if you and I walk in the Spirit, the desire to fulfill the lust, the desire to fulfill the desires of the flesh, will be mortified. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. It is the deeds of the flesh that wants you to be all puffed up and thinking, that is beneath me, I can't do that. That's menial work. No. Bend over pick up that piece of paper from the floor, you're not going to die, and you're not going to be less than you are because you picked a piece of paper off the floor. Just serve. Just walk. Jesus is still washing our feet. If you mess up, he is there to clean you up. And says, and I want you to do the same thing with each other. Just be a blessing. And with those words, I earned the message for tonight. Rise with me. I don't know where you stand in your walk with the Lord today. Those of you here in person and those that may be listening online on YouTube or Facebook Live or on Zoom or Reddit or whatever else, or other platforms. But I want you to ask yourself this question. What is my walk like? Am I walking the walk of faith? Am I representing the God who's loved me with an everlasting love? Is there a hunger in my heart to be greatly increased in the knowledge of God so that I can be a voice that God can use in these last days to tamper down and to shut down the tongue of the enemy? Maybe I want to say to God, God, I need you to take a hold of my life and use this life for what it's worth. I know that there is increase of knowledge in the world, but I want to be increased in the knowledge of God, not more of the world, more of God. That's what I want, so that I can be relevant, effective, fruitful in this last of the last days. Would you talk to God in your own language right this very moment and just let God know where you stand? Let's talk to him. He hears us individually. He hears us corporately. The reality is we all need God. I know I did. I want God to use my life to accomplish great things in this last of the last days. I want to be light in a dark world, because God called me out of the darkness and gave me enlightenment. God wants to use my life. God wants to use your life. And the way he's going to do it is because we are ready to serve. Talk to him your way. Heavenly Father, we trust you to use our lives. Use our lives. We want to walk uprightly before you. Walk in righteousness. Walk in truth. Walk in faith. Walk in love. Walk in peace. Walk directed by your mind. Increased in the knowledge of God. Are people raised up, ordained to do good works, which have been preordained for us to do and walk in? Father, we surrender our lives to you. Do beyond our words, do beyond our thoughts. Take us as we are, and make of us great potter, that which only you can accomplish. May we be vessels of honor in your house, in this great house. Help us serve faithfully. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for every one of you that took time to be here tonight. This time, let us honor God with our givings. Release our offerings to Him. Might there be anyone here tonight that needs to turn their lives over to God and say, God, I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. I want to turn my life over to you. Is there anyone like that? Just want Jesus to come into your life and be Lord and Savior of your soul? Okay. Please be reminded that on the 31st, we are going to be having a service starting at 9 p.m. Central Time, all the way into the new year, 2022. And when we do that, we'll also be having a baptism. If you want to be baptized, we'll be baptizing you on the very first day of 2022. Amen? So be ready for that. And also be reminded that on the 17th, the 18th, which will be Friday and Saturday, we have special services here. And on the 19th, which is next Sunday, at 6:30, not at 7, but 6:30, we'll be having our young people doing a special for us, sharing with us the joys of Christmas their own way. It's going to be a fun night watching them sing, some of them singing, some of them fidgeting, some of them doing whatever. You know, it's just going to be a fun night just to experience their ministry. We're looking forward to that. So please mark out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday service, 6:30. Saturday service, 6:30. Sunday service, 6:30 in the evening. Okay? And of course, there's Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. We'll let you know about the Christmas Eve service when that time has come. God bless you richly. Enjoy the goodness of God and be at peace. See you on Friday. Good night. Love you. Do I have anyone on Zoom?